Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is our year-end show with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And we're starting to get more and more reaction to our new exclusive, premium, after the Paracast podcast. Now, imagine saying that five times fast. What we do in After the Paracast is we attempt to be politically incorrect. We just say things that are on our mind. Like last week I was talking to Chris about something where I'm sure some people would object when I said, gee, how do they do fact-checking of oral traditions? Which may sound like nonsense, although I think there was something reasonable about it, which is, of course, if you're passing down something that you want to be conveyed accurately from generation to generation over the years, how do you verify that what they're saying is correct? It represents the original story, whatever it is.
It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's what we call oral tradition fact-checking. Now, having said that, I think we're going to really hear it from people. Now, speaking of hearing it from people, it's an interesting contrast here. We had, again, Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark, and she is really a really nice lady, very loyal to her purpose, which is to collect fascinating stories, especially about sky people, possibly interactions with advanced beings in ancient times. And she goes to these various indigenous peoples, and she gets the stories, and she writes them down. She doesn't sit there and grill the person. You know, that doesn't help. Obviously, she can't take every nuance of that story and see if she can fact-check that story, because we're talking about something that might have happened generations ago, hundreds or thousands of years ago. Look at the story. Look at the consistency of stories from person to person to see if there may be something there that at least indicates the possible presence of unusual creatures or beings or people or whatever in those ancient times. Now, the first time we had her on, we got really hit by our listeners saying, you know, this is not scientific. It's just folklore. But this time, I think they were more prepared to accept her for what she is.
Right. So was I. The first, I mean, I just, you know, being out in the field for many years off and on, I've really been a stickler for getting as much detail and writing down dates, times, descriptions, duration, location, any number of 10 to 12 different data points that I try to include in every report that I investigate. And it just was very frustrating for me to find out that she's in a town where a snowplow operator, for instance, picks up an alien. And she's in the same town. Well, man, it would sure be nice to get a date, a time, you know, a location, all that sort of thing. So I was a little frustrated when she was here, her first time here. But I just kind of went along with the flow here this past show. And it was very enjoyable listening to her stories and you know, kind of dovetailing them with some of the information I've, you know, gleaned over the years from that part of the world down there. And I found it fascinating. She's really sweet. And, you know, you just got to squash my natural tendency to really dig and you know, obviously want to find out more. So we just sat back and had a nice time listening to some of the very fascinating accounts. The one about the kid finding the little alien dressed up in a metal suit, that pretty cool stuff. If it's, you know, if it's legit.
Well, the thing to bear in mind here is that there are all sorts of unusual things that may have happened many years ago. And even more recent events, most people to whom these things happen don't always go rush to the police department or call the Air Force or look for the neighborhood MUFON representative. They kind of set it down. They kind of, if it hasn't really harmed them, they just realize they have a nice story to tell. But if we're talking about oral tradition, that's another thing, where something is so significant that a tribe is going to make an effort to record all that information verbally to make sure that future generations know what happened. But they're interpreting that event with reference to their culture and experience. So we may not even remotely be seeing what actually happened to them. No. It's kind of like a campfire story. And that brings us back to someone like a J.C. Johnson, who also tells lots of campfire stories. And also we get criticized for J.C. Johnson. But I think people who listen to the Paracast regularly know that not every week are we going to just sit there and grill guests over every different issue. Sometimes we have to sit back and just take it in.
Right.
And maybe learn from it. And maybe if it isn't literally true, there may be something there to understand.
That's entertainment.
That's entertainment. But there you go. Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark. She must have been fun in class, though, with these stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
She's a very plain-spoken woman. You kind of think an academic is someone who knows how to pile on the esoteric jargon. No, she's used to talking to regular people, and it tells in what she says and how she says it.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
So we had fun. It's also good. You know, we're in the holiday season, and we have to sometimes just enjoy what's happening. And it's kind of funny, too, how the holiday brings out different people. And I won't mention the name, but one of our early forum members who had been banned in our forums 4 years ago sent me a message over Facebook and says, look, I'd like to get on the show on and listen to the Paracast again. I'd like to join Paracast Plus, which we'll mention more briefly in a moment. That's plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Subscription service after the Paracast, high-resolution version of the show, no ads, that kind of thing. Okay. Says he wants to subscribe, but he can't get to the show. So somewhere along the line, on our web server, we banned the IP number with which he connects to the internet for some reason. Don't ask me why. So I fixed that. I removed the ban in the forums. He joined the forums and signed up for a one-year subscription.
You're so sweet, Gene.
I know.
Let me guess who you're talking about.
You can't. I don't think he can because I think he left before you joined the show.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, okay.
But he was associated with some of the usual offenders at one time.
Well, okay.
But, you know, it's like this here. There's been bad blood between the Paracast and other people, either because of me or Chris. And whatever reason there is.
Because of me?
Hey, there are people who think you talk with marbles in your mouth. And it's not. It's chewing gum. Let's get the facts.
Not everybody like me.
Well, I like you.
You mean there's people out there that don't like me?
Well, there are people out there who don't like me.
Boy, I'm going to have a Sally Fields complex here.
Well, that's
you
Sally's
really
problem.
You like me.
Oh. Well, I like you, so that's how it goes. It doesn't matter what other people think, what they say. But seriously speaking, here, you know, this to me is something we should consider. I don't hold grudges. And, you know, somebody's decided that for whatever reason they disagree with me and they want to disassociate themselves from me, or they don't like the fact that I had financial difficulties over the years and sought some help. That's all right. That's their privilege. But if they came back to me and said, you know what, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's think about the future and the fact that you can't spend your life hating people because it's not healthy.
No.
And they want to come back and shake hands, I'll shake their hand. I really, you know, don't believe in holding grudges. Unless somebody, you know, like really does something harmful, like they steal my money or they do something that commits harm to me personally. But, you know,
kick
otherwise.
Your dog.
Huh?
Kick your little dog.
Oh, I never kick that dog. You want to hug him. He's a kind, you know what he's like, teddy bears. He's huggable. He's a cute little thing, got a heart of gold.
Yeah, but if somebody came along and kicked him, I bet you it would take a while for you to bury the hatchet with that guy.
Well, if they kicked teddy bear, I'd give teddy bear permission to bite him or her.
Oh, okay.
I would. Hey, we have an interesting year-ender kind of show today. We've got a gentleman by the name of Paul Eno, and he is also a fellow broadcaster, and he has a show that he hosts with his son Ben called Behind the Paranormal at WOON 1240 AM over there in Rhode Island. So it's a fellow broadcaster, and we'll be kind of catching up with the year and talking about all sorts of stuff. And this is going to be one of those fun episodes, kind of lighthearted, I hope.
Yeah.
But that's the way you end the year. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Paul Eno here. He's one half of a team who does a show called Behind the Paranormal. The last time we had Paul Eno on the Paracast, he was here with his son, Ben Eno. So he's not here with you today. Did he do something bad, or Did you tie him up or something, or did he tie you up? The problem is, as they get older, they're taller than you, they're stronger than you, and of course, you can't tie him up anymore. They can tie you up, as I said. Of course, my son is shorter than me, but he's still a pretty robust kid.
Well, that's from days of yore. He's in his 20s now, and he's taller than my wife, but not me. No, actually, he's a little bit tied up today. He just became engaged, and I believe it was the 12th of December. He was DJing on WERS-FM in Boston, and he said, is it okay? He asked permission from the station manager, and he told her to listen, and she kind of suspected, but he proposed on the air in front of half of New England. So people were calling the station. Fortunately for him, she said yes. She called in tears and said yes, and he announced it on the air. They were doing the fundraiser for a charity in Boston there, but it worked out well, and we're very proud of him. And he's graduating from Emerson. He actually is graduating from Emerson College this month, and that was his last shift on the station, so it was very appropriate and something he'll remember, I'm sure, for the rest of his life.
Is this a college station?
Yes, it's 50,000 watts. It's probably one of the most popular music stations in Boston, but it is run by Emerson College, yeah. Public radio.
Well, congratulations, Ben.
Well, wherever he is, I'm sure I'll pass it on.
Well, for those people who didn't tune in to your first appearance along with Ben about 5 years ago or so, the radio show Behind the Paranormal, how was it conceived?
Well, people liked to have me as a guest. I suppose you two are no exception, I guess. And I suppose it might be because of my longevity in the field, which is either a curse or a blessing. I've never decided. And people said, why don't you have your own show? And then there was a Phoenix-based internet station that contacted us, and on which I'd been a guest many times, and said, why don't you take this slot? And Ben and I said, well, why don't we do it together? Because he was kind of interested in radio. He was 16 at the time. And so we started in 08 on that internet network there. And then a local Boston Providence station here, AM station, said, well, why don't you do a show for us once a week? So that's how that began. It started on Saturday mornings, you know, when absolutely no one in their right mind listens to the radio. But then they quickly moved us to a Monday night slot that we still have. So that's drive time. So you got a lot of commuters who are stuck in traffic listening to us. So we try not to get them too frustrated. And then that November of 09, CBS contacted us, and they had a new part of their network on three and later four market cities in the U.S., Seattle, Pittsburgh, Boston, and I don't even remember, Detroit. And they said, why don't you take this particular slot? And it was Sunday nights, and we developed a pretty big audience from that. And then the 1st of January, almost a year ago now, in 2014, they canceled that whole part of the network, taking us and 15, about 14 other shows with it. And so we had developed a pretty humongous audience, which now listens to the 1240 AM broadcast either on Mondays or listens to the podcast. So that's the history of that show. And supposedly, I mean, at our height, we had up to 3 million listeners, you know, all told, internet podcast and over the air. And the Monday show now, anyone who happens to be listening on a computer who's not stuck in traffic has the jarring experience of actually seeing us as well, because the thing goes out over webcam from the radio station. So I think, yeah, we're pretty well, we enjoy it, doing it together. People say they like the father-son dynamic. The only problem is that several times we've been approached by TV producers and directors, and just about all of us have, I'm sure, at one point or another. And they always end up saying, we've even done a pilot or two, and they always end up saying, well, first of all, in so many words, the networks say you're too intelligent. All right, that says a lot, doesn't it? And then the other thing is, we get along too well. They wanted more sparks. Yeah, the fathers and sons aren't supposed to get along. So, I mean, go figure. So we're still on the air anyway.
You're too intelligent and you're too nice. Oh.
Let me give you kind of a related story here. And it sounds similar to your story about how you interacted with your son and he co-hosted the show with you. So back in 2002, I went online with a radio show called The Tech Night Out Live, and that's something where we were one of the early internet-based radio shows, and I called my son to help me. We had been writing books together, by the way. He was just 16 at the time. Yeah, we wrote a series of science fiction novels. He was just 16 at the time. So we decided to have him work with me. And we had kind of an unusual rapport at that time. I don't know if we still have it, because now he's 28. But at that particular point in time, we had this rather unusual rapport, back and forth, repartee. And it seemed to work, so we did the show together for a few years. And then he, of course, was in college. And finally, he took a semester in Europe, in Madrid, Spain, and fell in love with the country and decided to live there. So we only get to see him like once a year for a few weeks. He might come back eventually. But that's one of the reasons why he no longer does it with me. But I understand the father-son dynamic. And sometimes it works right. Sometimes it doesn't. And I'm really happy to know it works so well for you. Does he share the same level of interest in paranormal as you do?
Yes, he does. Of course, he grew up with it. And people ask him, well, how did you get interested? He said, well, I listened to 200 of my father's lectures. Because he and his brother would come and sell books at the lectures. Still do, really, although Ben is now a co-speaker with me on most of these things. It really all began when I was curious to see if blood relatives had the same reactions in paranormal situations or in paranormal areas where, I mean, I hate to use the word psychic because it has so much baggage, but you do have a reaction of fear or curiosity or whatever, or electrical feeling or what have you, as John Zaffis would say. But what I actually did was to take a cousin on a case, and it was very interesting. He kind of had similar reactions. And then my oldest son was a little bit interested in it, but he started sleeping with the light on. I said, this is not going to work. But Ben was another kind of critter. By the time he was the first time he came on a case, he was like 8 or 9. And it was not intentional. It was very, very benign. I never would have brought him at that age otherwise. And two of his friends came to an herb farm in Connecticut with me. And it was odd. There wasn't anything negative going on. People said, there's some interesting things happening. It's an interesting place. He said, Dad, there are going to be UFOs involved with this case. And I said, UFOs? Well, nobody said anything about UFOs. And we get there, and one of the first things the woman who owned the herb farm said was, you know, also, as well as seeing these figures and all these different energies and stuff going on, people are seeing UFOs.
This is the way we do a break. That is a great way to have a segue. Let's find out more about this early paranormal investigation sojourn with Paul and Ben Eno. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Dr. Wallach has been warning us for decades to take control of our health care and our food supply. So Foods and Dr. Wallach's Youngevity have partnered to help you be prepared. Members of Youngevity can now buy GoFoods directly from their personal store. If not yet a member, call 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com to get special member pricing. That's 800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Let me remind you, listeners, we have a premium service now called Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus gives you benefits for a modest monthly subscription fee. First and foremost, the ad-free version of the Paracast, higher resolution content. So everything is better sounding, even when we had those marginal cell phone connections with some guests. We also have something called After the Paracast, which is our politically incorrect color commentary show. To find out more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. It tells you how to sign up, a few bucks a month, a few more bucks a year, and we welcome your membership. We've got Paul Eno, and he's one half, and we're not going to say if it's a bigger or smaller half, let's call it an equal half, of the team responsible for Behind the Paranormal with his son, Ben. And you were telling us, Paul, that you and your son had gone on this early paranormal research sojourn.
Yes, well, actually, I will comment that I do weigh considerably more than Ben. But in any case, yes, we did this particular case in the 90s. It wasn't really a case. Well, we did monitor it. He did mention that UFOs would be involved, and that came out of the blue, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And that was the first inkling that I had, and that people before me had suggested this. I mean, certainly Chris is on the same road, and John Keel was, people of that nature from the earlier times, that the paranormal is more than just individual incidents involving seemingly unrelated phenomena. You know, ghosts are in one corner, and Bigfoot and all cryptids and things are in another corner, and UFOs somewhere else, and everything. But I began to suspect after talking to people at this particular site that you've got different energies contributing, I should say the same energies or the same phenomena, in the sense of, well, I believe that you got a lot of quantum physics involved and parallel world intersects and things of that kind. It's because that's becoming a more popular opinion now in the paranormal, that was occurring, and that the various phenomena seemingly unrelated were in fact related in that sense. So that was Ben's real first unofficial case, but he was 13 by the time his mom and I decided that it was advisable to let him come on more serious cases. And so at the age of 13, which I still thought was a little young, but he was on top of it. From that time, I could say I'd have him by my side anytime in any emergency. And I've seen some wild situations, paranormally speaking and otherwise. Level-headed, calm, mature, and he was really great. So he's been my right hand ever since. And now wherever his career as a sound engineer will take him, I don't know. One of his professors told him, it's okay, you have two choices now. It's either Hollywood or New York. However, he's got a possibility in Massachusetts with a big name, so we'll see what happens. But in any case, I look back on those days as sort of a unique father-son enterprise, and which is still going on, hopefully helping people along the way and finding out a little more about the paranormal.
I think it also helps in showing an example of family relationships that don't always work out so well these days.
Well, it's funny. People wrote to us, and still do, from all over the world saying, gee, you know, you are so lucky. I wish I had something, you know, anything in common with my son. And probably one of the most memorable shows I think we ever did, judging from the reaction, was one we did on the AM, Boston Province AM station here. And we decided to deal with the subject of suicide, particularly teen suicide, because people would sometimes, especially young people, would contact us and saying, well, okay, well, if this multiverse thing is correct the way we interpret it, and it's certainly not all physicists agree that with us, I mean, some major ones do, but yeah, then can't I just, you know, do away with myself, you know, pop up in some better world, you know? Well, first, it really doesn't work that way. And secondly, we could not allow the paranormal, particularly our particular view of it, become an excuse for people to kill themselves, all right, obviously. So we did a show on that. The reaction was amazing. We had one woman was listening in the car. She was in tears. Her daughter had been listening at home, and she was in tears. They hadn't even been speaking to each other, and the daughter had been contemplating suicide, and they just embraced each other and from what we heard, things were better after that. So, I mean, you like to think you make an impact that way, but that was we really hit a nerve with that subject. I guess at the time, this is 2010, the suicide rate, according to the Census Bureau, was astronomical among young people. As a matter of fact, I believe it was the second major cause of youth deaths at the time. And I don't think it's much better today. So you have to be very careful what you say about the paranormal. You know, when you have psychics and mediums out there doing their thing, you know, and they paint a rosy picture of the quote of the afterlife, quote unquote. I mean, is this making it easier for people to give up here? And you know, people have to think of the implications of that. So we like to think that as a father-son team, we've had a little impact, at least with some people, in areas such as that.
I want to ask you a fast question then. Do you believe that the concept many people have of what the afterlife is like is an accurate interpretation or what?
Boy, that's a broad question. Well,
right.
I spent 10 years in seminaries. I graduated from two, and the last one tossed me the heck out like a year or two before ordination because they didn't like my paranormal work, right? So maybe the church and I both had a lucky escape. I don't know. But in any case, I've done sort of an unofficial survey, private survey for many, many years in my travels of what people think about that very subject and how they approach their own religion. Now, you don't need to be religious to believe in an afterlife, obviously, but that's the most common path towards such beliefs for most rank-and-file people. And I found that people in almost all religions, not just Christianity, but even in Judaism or in Islam and all these others, they don't really understand what their own religion teaches about these things. Roman Catholics in particular are, at least I don't know about now, but were not encouraged in my day to have theological education, unless they were studying for the priesthood, and then you had to be male. So you have a lot of uneducated people in that and many other religious groups. One possible exception might be the Eastern Orthodox, where a lot of people, male and female, go to the seminary, or at least are very interested, because maybe it's because they have, at least in this country, a smaller community. So that's one possible exception. But even then, you find people with this sort of goofy idea of this, you know, paradise, you know, which it's sort of not really nailed down. It's not very specific. But the I'll tell you, I'll give you an example of what I mean. I went to a funeral in Rhode Island, here where I live, and it was a well-known, the wife of a well-known fellow politician and this sort of thing. The priest was speaking, and he said, well, now she has gone to a better place, that's a common term, and she's able to play golf without all the greens fees, and she can go to the clubhouse later and eat all the cake and ice cream she wants and not get fat. So I kind of said, and as we were leaving the church, you know, he was out there, and I shook his hand. I said, that is the weirdest eschatology I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. A politician has to be careful about thinking about the afterlife.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, is there an afterlife for politicians?
Well, they have a lot to be worried about.
Yeah, well, this was a politician's wife. Maybe she was a victim. I don't know. But especially in Rhode Island, it's pretty paranormal, the politics. But in any case, but then I stopped myself, and I said, you know, if this multiverse idea that I have is that we have and others have is correct, then indeed we're living millions, perhaps billions of parallel lives in which, in one or two of which she might very well be, have different laws of physics and be able to play, well, I don't know, physics has anything to do with Green's fees, but you know what I'm getting at, you know, that all possibilities do exist in concrete form in parallel worlds, you know, if this a version of quantum mechanics is correct, and it might not be.
That's kind of an interesting twist, you know, on the whole idea of we create our own reality. Maybe we create our own afterlife.
We actually use that term in the initial promotions of the show. Not that we talk a lot about that. We try to be very cerebral in most of our approaches. But of course, when you think about that, it's not that you're creating it. It's that it's already there, and you simply become aware of it in a conscious way rather than a subconscious way.
Well, if you create the connection, in other words.
Yeah. Well, it's already there. But
somehow choose a particular one. There's some process that you undergo to end up in one particular possibility.
So perhaps you get the afterlife you want, or not.
Well,
Paul Eno is joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
So, do you get the afterlife that you wish for, or deserve, or expect?
I might put it a different way. I think you make your own bed in the multiverse, and I'll tell you one of the reasons I think that has been some very, and I hate, I almost hate to talk about this because it sounds like I'm doing the psychic medium thing, but that's, I don't look at it that way at all. If you're simply open-minded, hopefully not open-headed, open-minded to these possibilities, you do tend to run into things. And I've investigated a number of cases involving suicides with the information that I gleaned from working in these situations. It seemed to me that they were now experiencing worlds of utter aloneness. It's kind of like, be careful what you wish for, because to me, and I have a personal experience with suicide of a very dear loved one, and it took me a long time to talk about this too, especially on the air, was I was present when my father committed suicide, and I was 7 years old. Needless to say, it was probably the defining moment in my life. And people very often who do this, I'm sure, end up in worlds of absolute aloneness, because that's what suicide is. Now, barring psychiatric issues, or my father, I was told, had a brain tumor that affected his behavior. So, okay, barring that, deliberate acts of suicide, I think, are the acts of ultimate acts of selfishness. Maybe I'm too harsh or wrong about that, but I think you get what you wish for, and you, I mean, what is the multiverse and what is our life in it? It's just part of nature. It's an unusual part, one that we don't really know much about, but I think, as in everything in nature, it takes the path of least resistance. So if you are a selfish jerk in your conscious life here, in many conscious lives elsewhere, that's what you're going to remain. And I think it might be just that simple.
Well, I was getting at before, and this is my version having nothing to do with any reality, is that perhaps part of this transition does send you to another reality, and possibly in one reality you're dead and you're gone. But sure. In another reality you continue on, and I therefore wonder, when you see or hear from people who supposedly have passed on and they're in another place, could it be we're talking to them from a parallel universe?
I think that's precisely what's happening. I'll give you an example or two. This, I think, is probably the most telling experience I had. Now, as a seminary student in Wadham's Hall in Ogdensburg, New York, no longer exists, many seminaries don't, I was helping at the Ogdensburg State Hospital. Now, because this is back in the 70s when there were more of these state hospitals now, I should say then, and there were more inpatients then than there are now. And now they just fill your pockets full of antipsychotics and off you go and good luck. But in any case, you had also a state hospital in which there were non-psychiatric patients because of people who couldn't afford regular hospitals. So you had a cross-section, very often older patients. So I was there at one point in a particular ward that was known as being a little strange. A lot of the staff didn't like to work there, particularly at night, and there were older people there. Now, there was one, I was talking to one of the patients, and this is sort of in a pastoral capacity, but I was also working with on the hush-hush with an exorcist, because there were sometimes things would happen the doctors couldn't explain and this sort of thing, and we'd have to come in, and I don't know if it was the right approach looking back on it, but whatever. So there was one particular woman who was an elderly patient and considered herself a psychic medium, right? You know, a good Catholic and all this, and I said, you know, that's really not accepted. She said, well, it is what it is, and this sort of. But she said that there is a, the hall was haunted because there's a man waiting for his wife to die, and he was going to, quote, take her home. I said, okay, that's a common story. You hear this right and left from, I mean, you stand on any city street, you're going to throw a rock, you're going to hit somebody who's a psychic or thinks they are anyway. So I went, the chapel also happened to be in this hallway. So I went into the chapel, and I have a certain technique that I use, and I kind of feel my way with it. You go into a sort of meditative state, and if anything or anyone is around, you can kind of pick it up if you're in a quiet state. This is the way I do it anyway. And there have been a number of times when I've actually communicated, and I always advise against this because, you know, I'm very aware, and Ben and I, particularly working together, very aware of what we refer to as parasitical entities. Folklore calls them demons or evil spirits, but I think they're just life forms who happen to be multiversal. I think life, certainly biology and everything is proven, science in general has proven that life is pretty much universal and finds its way into just about every aspect of the life of the biosphere and the universe. I think Sir Fred Hoyle, the great astronomer, astrophysicist, said life is not the exception in the universe, it is the rule. So that being said, I think that life forms that live among worlds or between them or, you know, or in multiple worlds at the same time are very possible. And I think that's what we run into. But in any case, you watch out for those negative ones. And if that, the coast being clear in that sense, sometimes there is communication. And I happened, I believe, to get in touch with the husband who was indeed waiting for his wife, but waiting for her across the river in Prescott, Ontario, at the railroad station. She was coming in from Montreal, and he was going to take her home. Okay. Now, this was not in our particular world or that this form of our world, and I got the strong impression from this guy who did speak English. Very often I have language problems because you've got people or beings, as I believe they are, who don't speak any language that we know or speak a very strange form. I encountered one time who spoke a very, very strange form of Latin with very odd case endings, and it took me 2 days to communicate with him. And in this case, the fellow's across in Ontario, but he was in a world where it was very similar to ours, but in which it was not uncommon to speak with your neighbors, as I think of them, in parallel realities and, you know, not far away. Now, in our world, generally that would get you a sentence of schizophrenia and a bunch of antipsychotics or in a bunch of visits to the shrink. But in his world, that was considered normal. Because, you know, if you study psychology, the definition of normality really depends on the society in which you live. So you can just see, if all this was what it appeared to be, that this woman who was the psychic medium and carrying it from that to perhaps many or even all psychic mediums, interpreting this as someone who had died, what else could it be? Because they don't have any other point of view, waiting for his wife who was going to die, and he was going to take her home to heaven. Okay, hence their view of the afterlife. When in reality, if I was interpreting it correctly, this was nothing of the kind. whenever I have the rare times we have psychic mediums on the air, and it's very rare because they all say the same things and they're all stuck in the 19th century. Not all, but most, in my opinion. I'll ask them, well, you talk about the other side, all these spiritualist terms. I said, well, the other side of what? Or which other side, which of the billions and trillions of other sides are you talking about? You know, the one in which the lady's, sucking up all the goodies and not getting fat, or the one in which the guy's waiting for the train? I mean, everything is out there, and we're just an infinitesimal part of this if it is what it appears to be. That's an example of what I'm talking about.
Well, then we can also talk about whether it's all real or whether we're just somewhere in the matrix, sleeping away our lives, and it's not what we perceive it to be. You know, when you were talking, though, about the parallel universe, I was thinking of the TV show Fringe, where they had this alternate reality that they visited, where you could see how things were similar. You had counterparts of the people who existed in the reality with which we were familiar, but other events like 9/11 never occurred.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I don't watch very much television. Ben's mom said it'll be a bad influence on me anyway. But I think a lot of these ideas are being carried over into pop culture in some ways, although pop culture usually gets it wrong, just as they get stuff wrong in religion. People have, to get back to your original question, which I think I probably wandered a bit far from, about the afterlife or concepts of heaven. And it's ironic because Ben and I are writing a book together on Chapter 10, which is about heaven, the deals with this very idea. People don't understand, as I said, really what their own religions teach, particularly when it comes to heaven or the afterlife. Buddhism, for example, doesn't even officially recognize a single god, but most others do, or pagan religions, gods, whatever, but it still leads to an afterlife idea. And one of the questions is the afterlife the same for everyone, or is it sort of personal? And from what we've discussed about the possibilities of making your own bed here, or even making a conscious choice about what world to be conscious of next when you are not in this one anymore, that I think sort of answers the question about whether you have a conscious choice and whether it's the same for everyone.
We have Paul Eno joining Gene and Chris for Year Ender here in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN. We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet, or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio, now at your fingertips.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.